David McNair, Head of Growth, Equity and Livelihoods at Save the Children. David, the OECD World Forum this year is on measuring well-being. You're here. That's obviously something you think is important. Why is that?
Well, we clearly have an interest in ensuring that children's well-being is protected and that we prioritise particularly infant, particularly newborn child survival. Now, if you want to prioritise those issues, then you need to ensure that governments are held to account for progress that they're making. And we need to ensure that we have the right metrics to measure that. We need to have the right statistical systems in place to collect the data. And we need to have the right disclosure of data so that civil society are holding governments to account for the commitments that we're making. Now, if we look at the example of nutrition, this is a problem which is hidden. It's the killer of 2.3 million children every year, and there are an additional 170 million children who, because they don't receive the right nutrients in the first 1,000 days of life, their physical and cognitive development is stunted. And that undermines their future potential. So we need to be collecting this kind of data and monitoring it. And here in India, the last survey was almost 10 years ago. So there's clearly a need to prioritise this issue and get it on top of the political agenda. And we can do that through collecting data, having the right metrics, and having governments prioritise the issue through being held to account for how they're making progress.
Okay. You touched on data. One of the things that's been quite surprising in this conference has been the lack of availability of particular data. Can you tell me a little bit about how Save the Children used some of the data that's being talked about to inform their policy and their work?
Absolutely. I mean, well, first of all, we do collect data through our programme. We have this household economic analysis, which looks at, in particular, livelihood zones, families are spending and how they're accessing a nutritious diet, whether they have the enough income to pay for that. But we also make use of World Bank data, UNICEF, other UN data in informing our policies. So we conduct research, we have advocacy positions, and particularly in terms of raising the political profile of issues, having robust numbers on the number of children affected by whatever issue we're working on is a really powerful way of demonstrating that government should prioritise this issue. So data is crucial for us.
One of the things that's been talked about quite a lot, apart from this need to measure beyond gross domestic product as a way of saying how well a country's been doing, is the need to tackle inequality within countries. Is that something that strikes a chord with you?
Absolutely. First of all, we're seeing the trend where the majority of the poorest people are now living in middle-income countries. So we think there will be a need for us to think much more about domestic fiscal issues, domestic policies to address those issues. And we're sitting in India, which has a huge number of billionaires and also the highest number of malnourished children in the world, more than Africa, put together. So I think this issue of inequality is of increasing prominence. And we've done recent analysis which suggests that the available income which is accessible by children, basically children suffer inequality at a rate of 2 times what the normal population suffer inequality. And if we look at stunting rates and malnutrition in Nigeria, for example, those in the poorest quintile are 2 times worse off than those in the richest quintile. So this has a direct effect on health outcomes, on future potential, and therefore we really need to be prioritising it.
It was interesting today listening to Angus Deighton talk, and he said that Indian women are growing at a third of the rate that Indian men are growing, and that you can actually almost use somebody's height as a measure of their well-being. If we're going to tackle some of these inequalities and improve the population of not just India, but improve well-being across the world, what do governments need to be doing to try and change the situation?
Well, I think there are a number of different dimensions of inequality, from income inequality to group inequalities. And regional inequalities, and we see nutrition tends to be much worse in rural areas than urban areas. The first thing that we need to do, and we have an opportunity, is to prioritise inequality within the post-2015 framework. That was the major blind spot of the MDGs. What the MDGs did was to incentivise governments to invest resources in the lowest hanging fruit, for example, and the poorest were really left behind. So we need any indicators that we have in the post-MDG framework to be disaggregated on a lot of different measures. And then we need the capacity and the disclosure of that information so that civil society can be holding governments to account for how they're making progress on inequality, because it not only affects the health outcomes of children and other poor people, it also has major impacts on the cohesiveness of society. We see that in Nigeria, where the north of Nigeria, which is much, much poorer, is now facing problems with terrorism. We see it across the world in terms of social cohesion and the perception that the 1% are benefiting from globalization much more than the 99%, and that's not the kind of world that any of us want to live in.
David McNair, thank you.